You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday, the 1st of February, 2022, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, today I wanted to look at what the results of the trans-totalitarian ideology are. And we have quite a few things going on here. A women's rights campaigner who put up stickers and posters in Newport, Wales, has been arrested by police for criminal damage and abusive writing after people allegedly complained that her posters carried an anti-transgender message. And this really shows that this is really starting to affect people on the left now. They're the ones that have campaigned for all these speech laws and speech codes to be brought into society now. And because of this, as we see that transgenders are now invading female spaces, and the transgenders' rights trumps the feminist rights. So the feminists are now starting to come on the receiving end of this police action, which is seeking to police people's thoughts, basically. This is quite clearly an extreme left-wing campaigner, and she is seeing what it is like to be on the so-called far right in the way that she is now being treated by the police. Jennifer Swain, 53, was arrested on Sunday afternoon and detained until the early hours of the morning, while police officers executed a search warrant on her property and confiscated women's rights stickers and a book containing a collection of critical essays about the theory and practice of transgendering children. I mean, how dare you be critical of this ideology? And to think that just for putting stickers up, you can have your home broken into, you can have all your devices taken, you can have all the police there going through your property as if you're some kind of drug dealer, and all you're guilty of is just voicing your own thoughts out of a concern for other people. I mean, this is the same thing that nationalists have to go through, that are concerned about trends that we see happening in society, and we try to draw people's attention to them in a polite manner through a sticker on a lamppost or somewhere like that, and you end up having your house broken into and all your private things gone through by the police. And at the heart of it is just a desire to help other people. That's what's at the root of this. Jennifer Swain, she is just trying to help other women. That's the reason why she put this sticker up, and yet she's been accused of being abusive for doing this. And of course, as nationalists, we get accused of inciting hate when all we're trying to do is help our own people and do the right thing. Some of the stickers and posters put up by Swain carried feminist messages decrying violence against women, but others, which bore phrases such as "no men in women's prisons" and "humans never change sex," were reported as being offensive. Now, surely this is just basic biological reality. Humans cannot actually change their sex. I mean, what we're talking about here is humans changing their gender. They're not talking about actually changing their sex. They cannot change their sex. You cannot change your biological sex. If you are born with XX chromosomes, you are a female. If you are born with XY chromosomes, you are a male. That's just a fact of the matter. It's not possible to actually change your sex. You can modify your genitals, you can take the opposite sex's hormones, you can present as the opposite sex's gender, but you cannot actually change your sex. And this is why we see transgender males giving birth, because they haven't actually been able to change their sex. Their sex is still female. That's why they still have a womb. That's why they're still able to carry children, and yet they present as a male. So what they've actually done is they've changed their gender, or their outward appearance of their gender. They have managed to change, but they haven't actually managed to change sex. So how is it offensive for her to have put on a sticker that humans never change sex? And surely not wanting to see men in women's prisons, again, is just a sensible idea. It's out of concern for the women in the prisons. It's not out of some desire to harm transgenders. And her reasoning for this, I'm sure, will be because there have been these rapes that have occurred in women's prisons. Rapes carried out by transgender females, which basically mean anatomically correct males presenting as the female gender and being put in these women's prisons, where you have vulnerable women who have then been attacked by these transgenders. And surely if she doesn't want to see that happening in women's prisons, she should have a right to actually put that up there. And I guess the police are going to say, well, what's wrong here is that she is referring to these transgender women as men. But she's using the term in as the biological term. And quite clearly, they are still biologically men if they're capable of raping women. So I think she may manage to avoid being found guilty of this, but just think what she's had to go through, having her home turned over, all her things gone through, and she's basically just trying to help her own gender. Gwent police released a statement earlier last week alleging they had received complaints about the offensive messages over a period of several months, and that the posters contained abusive writing likely to cause harassment, alarm, or distress. How can it now be seen to be offensive to say that people cannot act, men cannot actually change their sex? How can it be offensive to say that men are men and women are women? I mean, if this wasn't so, then these transgenders would not be trying to present as the opposite gender in the first place. Swain, meanwhile, took to social media to argue that her messages were not anti-trans, but pro-women, and alleged that her thinking was being investigated rather than her actions. And she's correct. I mean, she's obviously extreme left, but, you know, she has all my support here. And this is what is going on. It is her thinking that is being investigated, not her actions. And this is the same thing that we see as nationalists. We see nationalists purchasing books from Amazon, perfectly innocent books that remain innocent in the hands of people that are on the left. But if they're in the hands of somebody that is on the right, then those books can be construed as being useful to terrorists, and you can go to prison for them. But one book in particular, The Anarchist's Cookbook, which is directed at people on the left. It's directed at anarchists. It tells anarchists how that they can set bombs off and do all sorts of illegal acts. And in the hands of an anarchist, that book is quite legal. In the hands of somebody who is right wing, then that book then becomes a terrorism manual. And we have nationalists that have been jailed for having this book. And what is being investigated there is the thinking of the person, rather than the action, exactly the same thing that she has identified here. It's not the fact that she was putting stickers up. It's what her thinking was. It's not even what was on the stickers. It's her motivation for putting them up that determines whether or not it is a crime. Again, this ties in with what happens to nationalists. Patriotic Alternative have completely legal leaflets about immigration, which do not target anyone, which do not incite any hate. And yet people have been arrested by the police for putting these leaflets up, not because of what's on the leaflet, but because the police are interested to find out what the motivations are of the person that is handing out the leaflets. And if the person being investigated uses racial slurs in their social media, then the police will say that those leaflets were handed out with an intent to incite racial hatred. If they don't find racial slurs, then they are not able to say that those leaflets were handed out with an intent to incite racial hatred, and the leaflets remain legal. So it matters what your thinking is nowadays in court. And it's these court cases that are taking up all the all the court's time. It's all about policing people's thinking rather than actually trying to prevent actual physical violent crime. I mean, this woman has all my sympathies here, and she is starting to understand what it is that we are going through as nationalists. I doubt whether she's actually thought about the similarities to what's happened to her, as is happening to us, but she still does have my sympathy here. Fair Cop, an organisation which campaigns against the criminalisation of free speech, has since volunteered to support Swain with any legal proceedings that arise. And Fair Cop was actually set up by an ex-police officer who was investigated for himself speaking about transgenders and saying that a man is a man and a woman is a woman. And the police went round his house and they said, we've come round to check your thinking. And he was put on a list of non-crime hate incidents. And he took the police to court over this, and he's just won his appeal. And the police are going to have to rethink the entirety of their non-crime hate incident policy, which is basically when no crime has actually been committed. But if somebody else says, well, I'm offended by what that person said, it gets recorded as a non-crime hate incident against your record. And that can get flagged up when you're looking for a job working with children or as a teacher or just in an enhanced criminal record search. So you have this black mark against your name just because somebody doesn't like the opinion that you have. So he's set up this organization, Fair Cop, which campaigns for free speech, and he's going to be helping this woman, which is great. It's good that we have this organization. We also have Toby Young's organization, which also campaigns for free speech. Some of the stickers and posters made by Swain were emblazoned with phrases such as, "No child is born in the wrong body," "Humans never change sex," and "Woman equals adult, human, female." And of course, there is no scientific proof that any child is born in the wrong body. They've tried their hardest to find it, and they have not been able to find that there are female brains being born into male bodies. You do get differences in the amount of hormones that people have, and if a mother is taking hormone disruptors or not taking them but exposed to hormone disruptors, then the burst of testosterone that is needed for a male fetus to form correctly may not appear in the form that it should do, and they may not get enough testosterone, and that may result in the male being a little bit more feminine in their ways. But that just means that they need to find a woman that is a little bit more masculine in their ways. It doesn't mean that it's that child is the wrong gender, born into the wrong body. This idea just leads to gender dysphoria. It just leads to depression. And surely people are quite entitled to have their own views on this and to speak their own views on this and to let others know that they are not alone in thinking that way, that there are people that think the same way as them, that are campaigning to try and do the right thing. I mean, this all boils down to people trying to do the right thing and being penalized for that. I mean, here to say that a woman is an adult human female, I mean, quite clearly, that's what the word means, isn't it? Woman, womb, man. It is a man with a womb. It is an adult that is capable of carrying children. And this is why these transgender males are able to carry children. It's because they are biologically still women. They're still a man with a womb. The third third sticker here that she puts up says, "Are you happy for your 13-year-old daughter to shower next to an adult man? Yes or no?" And again, that is referring to this idea that transgenders should be able to use the women-only facilities, such as in the swimming pools, in the beauty salons. And we have lots of instances of adult males that are still have their full genitalia, that are presenting as females or presenting as a female gender, and they go into these women-only spaces, and the women are shocked at seeing their genitalia basically. And you can understand that, yes, they will be shocked, and especially if there are young girls there that are going to see things like this. And surely she has a right to say that she's not happy about this, and to make the people around her aware that she is not happy about this, and she wants to do something about this. But surely we want to be encouraging people to take part in what's happening socially around us. We want to encourage people to take part in government policy. And yet there are certain government policies that if you voice a negative opinion on, then you run the risk of this sort of thing happening to you. Gwent Police on Tuesday released a statement explaining the circumstances surrounding the arrest. Superintendent Vicky Townsend said, "We have received several reports in relation to posters containing offensive material appearing in Newport between October and January." And again, I mean, who decides what is offensive and what is not? I mean, I would say that cursing and swearing is offensive. Pointing out verifiable facts is not offensive. What they're actually saying here is that reality itself is offensive. Some people find reality itself offensive, so we must all go around complying with their fantasy idea of what reality is. How can you have a society that is based on a fantasy idea of what reality is rather than actually based on what observable reality is? I mean, we're just heading for absolute chaos here and the end of civilization by basing policies on false ideas like this. Officers on patrol in Newport saw a woman spraying stickers to two lampposts. And what I guess you could say, well, putting these stickers up on public property, that is criminal damage to public property. And that's all she should really be investigated for, not, you know, her motivation for actually doing this, because then we're saying, well, we don't have free speech, and if you have certain ideas, then we're going to criminalize you, and if you have different ideas, then we're not going to criminalize you. And again, it means we have a two-tier system of policing, and it means that we are policing people's thoughts and opinions rather than policing crime. It's like the police have become policy enforcers. Perhaps that's what the word police actually stands for. Policy enforcer. They're there to enforce the official ideology and to make certain that nobody goes off the reservation or thinks for themselves or has individual thought. I mean, it's just horrific what's going on here. It's 1984 and Brave New World mixed together and far worse with the Thought Police and Minority Report, the old Tom Cruise movie that came out some years back. I mean, we all thought when we read these books and we saw those movies that nothing like this could ever actually happen. And it's here. It has happened. We have the Thought Police. We now have thought crime in 2022 Britain. A 53-year-old woman from Newport was arrested on suspicion of criminal damage and displaying threatening or abusive writing likely to cause harassment, alarm or distress. I mean, who is it that is going to be harassed, alarmed or distressed upon hearing that men cannot actually change sex? I mean, it's just a fact, isn't it? Police said they received 6 complaints of offensive messages posted by Swain on Sunday and were therefore compelled to investigate. And you have to say, well, how many people were there in Newport? How many people were there that actually saw these stickers? Considering that only 6 people complained, I mean, you could say that if there was, I don't know, 10,000 people that maybe walked past those stickers, well, the 10,000 people did not think that this was offensive. Where is the balance in this? This is why you need to have free speech. You need to have the right to offend people. I mean, the police themselves put up a poster some time back saying that being offensive is an offence. And it's not an offence. It's not an offence to be offensive. It's an offence to incite hate against people. And how can they say that it is inciting hate against anybody just to be pointing out biological reality? I mean, there's been this mission creep with these laws, where the laws were put in place essentially to prevent people from inciting others to carry out violence up to the point of murdering somebody. And we've gone from the bar being that you had to actually show that somebody had an intent to try and kill somebody to just people saying their opinion if it happens to be different to the official one. And now, it's if your opinion is actually based on reality, and the official opinion is not based on reality, then that is being seen as the equivalent of trying to encourage people to murder them. Where is this woman encouraging people to try and murder transgenders? She's not. She's just advocating for women's rights. Swain, meanwhile, took to Twitter to rail against the police for the arrest and to refute claims that she had published transphobic messages. Yesterday, Sunday the 23rd of January, I was arrested for hate crime. Gwent police saw me as an exceptional threat to the trans community by posting stickers and posters that did not even mention trans once. They were feminist in content, and I felt pleasingly informative to women and concerned. And I do think she's been careful in the way that she worded these things so that she couldn't be accused of being anti-trans. Swain, who suffers from bipolar disorder, went on to argue that the police's decision to confiscate a book concerning transgendering children amounted to policing thoughts over actions. And again, this is the same thing that happens to nationalists. They'll go through all your books, they'll take your nationalist books, and they'll say, oh, this is evidence that you're a right-wing extremist because you've read this book. And imagine you got books today that are banned books, basically. If you have a certain political ideology, then you're not allowed to read certain books. It's like we're still living in the 12th and the 13th century when the Bible was banned. I mean, that's the equivalent here, isn't it? You can't read the Bible. You can't learn about things that we don't want you to learn about. Whether what you're learning about is right or wrong doesn't come into it. If it's a nationalist ideology, then the state wants to crush it because they know that nationalism is the only genuine opposition to them. She said, when my house was raided, it has come to my attention that a book was taken by the police. A book edited by Heather Brunskill Evans on gender critical children. It was crammed with my notes. My thinking is being investigated. Not things, not materials, not actions, my actual thinking. I mean, this is great that this left-wing woman is realizing this, but will she take that extra step and realize that this is what's going on the right? This is the way that right-wing people are being treated all the time, and this is now happening to the left, you know. But perhaps, you know, maybe she thinks that. Maybe she, you know, maybe she won't be so bigoted in her views about the right, and won't be wanting to censor us. I mean, we're all about having a debate here and discussing these ideas, and yet we're told that we shouldn't even have a platform for these ideas. The book Transgender Children and Young People Born in Your Own Body is a collection of essays which challenges the accepted medical definition of the transgender child as a young person whose true gender lies in the brain, or pre-social identity. So it is something that cannot actually be measured. I mean, they tell us that God doesn't exist, there's no evidence for God, and yet they come out with this idea that there is evidence for people being born in the wrong body. The book's synopsis on Amazon says its contributors contest this diagnosis from a range of social constructionist perspectives, including as social theorists, psychotherapists, persons living as transgender, individuals who regret having transitioned, and parents of adolescents identifying as transgender. So it's all very well thought out. It's all obviously being done to the benefit of these children that are having these things done to them, that cannot possibly consent to the mutilations that are being done on their body. I mean, how can you consent to never enjoying sex and never having children before you've even passed through puberty and understand what a sexual urge is? In their writings, they controversially claim that the rise in the number of children being diagnosed as transgender by gender identity clinics is due to politics, not science. And again, this is just observable reality, that the massive increase in number of people presenting as transgender, it's coincided with all this promotion of transgenderism. We see it promoted all the time to children and in schools. They claim there is an ongoing medical and social trend of transgendering children, which they believe is neither liberal or progressive, but politically reactionary, physically and psychologically dangerous, and abusive. Well, I would agree with that last part there, but I think it is a logical result of liberal and progressive ideas. And it is now a large part of political correctness, cultural Marxism, which is used to weaken the nation, basically, and break it down and make it easier to rule. The book is edited by Dr. Heather Brunskill Evans, a social theorist and philosopher with an interest in feminist philosophy and the politics of the body. The academic of nearly three decades is a visiting research fellow at King's College London and is a trustee of the charity Philia and coordinator of its Stop Violence Against Women and Girls section. So she has the authority to be speaking about these things. And this woman that was putting the stickers up, she has obviously read this book. She's taken an interest in it, and she's basing her views on this. And the police have taken this as evidence that she is a hater. Some social media users accused Swain for being disingenuous about her social activism and said that she was rightly arrested for her actions. One user wrote, "I feel you are being dishonest about the content and the implications you are making and the policies you are doing activism around." While another simply commented, "So you were arrested for vandalism." But this is just it. She was not arrested for vandalism. Simple vandalism does not entail the police kicking down your front door and going through all your private things and taking all your devices and taking your books away, does it? But many users leapt to Swain's defence and said the police had overstepped the mark. "Is there no real crime going on in Gwent?" one user wrote. "How do they get a warrant to search your home? What on earth did they tell the magistrate you'd done? I am absolutely gobsmacked by this and raging on your behalf." And this is it. Most of the general public don't understand that just for speech crime, the police can have a warrant to search your home. I mean, you think, well, if you're a drug dealer, or if you've got stolen goods, then the police have got a right to look for evidence of that. But now the police apparently have a right to look through all your private belongings to check your thinking, to see what your thinking is, and then to try and make an assessment of it, make a guess of what your actual thinking is, so that a court case can proceed and you can be found guilty. So you can be found guilty just upon a guess. You know, the whole courts are supposed to be about truth and nothing but the truth and getting to the facts. And what these speech crimes boil down to is just a guess. Meanwhile, free speech organisation Fair Cop accused Gwent police of unlawful interference and declared it would provide Swain with legal aid in the case. Fair Cop's Harry Miller said that the posters that Swain put up around the Welsh town were a political statement that did not come anywhere near the criminal threshold. But this is it. This is the way that these laws are being used. They're being used to police politics. They're being used to prevent any alternative politics from raising its head, basically. They're being used to prevent any genuine opposition appearing in the country. The organisation's Twitter account addressed a message to Gwent Police yesterday declaring, "We have our legal team in place. We will be setting up a donation platform in the next few days." Well, good luck with that. Most donation platforms for people that are being harassed for speech crimes end up getting taken down. "In the meantime, we have paid costs and we'll be bringing our A team. You picked on the wrong people." Swain was released on conditional bail at 3:30 a.m. on Monday morning as investigations continued. She is the latest in a series of women, men and campaigners who have been labelled as anti-trans after expressing their views or publishing works which challenge the status quo. A criminologist became the latest target last week after anonymous complaints to his university bosses accused him of transphobia following posts he made about keeping prisons single sex. Again, so just for advocating for the sensible idea of having single sex prisons, you will now be accused of transphobia. There's been complaints to his university and people will be demanding that he be sacked. Criminologist Professor James Treadwell was informed by his employer, Staffordshire University, that official complaints were made about comments he made on Twitter. Professor Treadwell had recently posted tweets insisting that transgender women should not be allowed in female prisons. And again, this is something that somebody has said on Twitter, on their social media account. I mean, this should be your private thoughts, your private opinions, nothing to do with your work. Your work shouldn't be interested in what you say outside of work, what you say socially. I mean, if you were to say 30 years ago that your work would have a right to determine what you talked about in the pub. People would have just said, you're absolutely crazy. But that's what this equivalent is, isn't it? It's what people are talking about on social media, which is the equivalent of what people would be talking about in the pub in the past. On January 9th, he was branded a TERF, which stands for Trans-Exclusionary Radical Feminist, after he referenced research which found that more than half of women in prison have experienced sexual violence and abuse. He appeared to be referencing research by the Prison Reform Trust charity, which found that more than half of women in prison reported having suffering domestic violence, with 53% claiming to have experienced emotional, physical or sexual abuse as a child. He then added, many women have been damaged by men time and again. I cannot see any case now for why we should do anything but keep prisons single sex. Very sensible. And maybe he could have also referred to the fact that we now actually have women accused of rape. We have women being found guilty of rape, where it's actually been transgender women that have been found guilty for rape, which has actually distorted the crime statistics. And we have these instances of women in these women-only prisons that have been raped or abused by these transgenders in there. On January 11th, referencing a Twitter thread which highlighted alleged bad treatment of women and girls, he said it puts the drive for men being able to use women's spaces into some perspective. And earlier this month, Professor Treadwell was accused of trying to link reform to the Gender Recognition Act, which allows people with gender dysphoria to change their legal gender, with sex criminals, after he penned a lengthy Twitter thread about sex offenders. However, the thread made no reference to transgender people. And there is a link, isn't there? If you've got these crimes that are occurring in women's prisons, they're being carried out by transgenders, then the simple way to prevent that is just to prevent the transgenders from going in the prison. Have a separate prison, perhaps, for transgenders. In 2018, the criminologist said he did not believe transgender women should be housed in female prisons after inmate Karen White, who was born a man, was charged with sexually assaulting two women. However, when the angry and upset lecturer spoke out on Twitter on Wednesday evening, he said he'd been given no details of what is alleged and had no idea if the tweets from this month or from 2018 were the ones which were complained about. He jokingly added that it was a good job cancel culture is just a myth. Once again, you know, the left are becoming the victims of this. The academic stressed he believes that transgender people, like all people, deserve dignity and respect, but added that academics giving their personal views do too. And of course, we go along with that here at Radio Albion. All people deserve dignity and respect. And if we are criticising social policies, that should not be taken as incitement of hatred against anyone. Professor Treadwell, who has worked at the university since 2017, said he had also been complained about for denying the reality of satanic ritual abuse, a reference to tweets of his last summer in which he disputed the unsubstantiated phenomenon. Well, I don't know how you can disprove that. I mean, there is ritual abuse, isn't there? A lot of that goes on in Africa, and a lot of that goes on here now as well with African immigrants. There's been body parts that were found, weren't they, in the Thames a while back. Professor Treadwell repeated that he does not know why he is being investigated, but believes his university are obligated to launch a probe after receiving a complaint. The investigation comes after other academics have been targeted in recent months for alleged transphobia linked to gender critical views. Gender critical refers to the view that a person's sex, whether male or female, is a biological fact and not the same as the gender they feel or how they present themselves in public. And surely isn't that what these transgenders are saying? They're saying that they are a different gender to what their actual biological sex is. Otherwise, they wouldn't be presenting as transgender, would they? In October, Sussex University feminist philosopher Professor Kathleen Stock quit her job following a bullying and harassment campaign carried out by students accusing her of transphobia. Just days later, Open University academic Professor Joe Phoenix, who is also a criminologist, described how she was compared to a racist uncle at a Christmas dinner table after she aired views about the silencing of academic debate on transgender issues. Harry Potter author J.K. Rowling has been slammed by trans activists for writing a blog and tweeting about the subject. including one in which she took aim at the use of the term people who menstruate in place of the word women. So, I mean, this is just going on completely unabated. It's going to continue until there is a big court case here, I feel, which sets a precedent that we do still actually have free speech. As I pointed out earlier, we've gone from preventing people from actually inciting direct violence against people and a law that was put in place for that, to this law now being used to force people to deny reality, just like it is in 1984, where he's forced to say that 2 + 2 = 5. That's what's going on here. We're being forced to deny reality itself, and it will continue until a precedent is set in our favour. And this woman here that's being persecuted for this, she's also bipolar. She certainly has my full sympathy. I just hope that some of these left-wing people that are on the receiving end of it, they think about what nationalists have been going through for the last few years at the receiving end of this, and how many of us are in prison just for simply owning the same books that people on the left have. Well, thank you very much for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.